last talk will be by Rio Sawada on, let's see if, the program says on nucleosynthesis constraints on the energy growth timescale of a core collapse supernova explosion.
I'm Ryo Sawada. I'm a PhD student in Kyoto University. I'm very happy to have this opportunity to presentation. I will talk about phenomenological constriction to the quark supernova explosion mechanism, especially focusing on energy growth timescale. First, quark supernova is end of the massive star, and this explosion mechanism is not is still unclear. Standard scenario is what we call a neutron-driven mechanism. This scenario is the following, and if quark supernova success to explode. Supernova is estimated 10 to 51 cell from observation. So shock wave need to require in this process to 51 cell. But the can reach to 51 cell or not is now unclear. And there are two studies in neutron-driven mechanism. One is ab initio calculation, and another one is artificial explosion mechanism simulation. And first, I briefed talk about recent result in this calculation. This figure is energy time evolution. X-axis is the time after bounce, and y-axis is the total energy. And in this figure, maximum value is half of 51 cell. So we can see these two studies cannot reach to 51 cell. But it is believed that this tendency can explore it to 51 cell. And here we defined time scale up to 51 cell we call TGRO. Most of all simulations, most of all ab initio simulations take same or longer, more than 1 second. So recent ab initio calculation suggests more than 1 second explosion. On the other hand, artificial explosion simulation. This simulation is can treat a wide range, but modeling a central engine. And the classical nucleosynthesis calculation, they use a thermal bomb or piston explosion. This model is assumed explosion timescale is very shorter than explosive nuclear burning timescale. And based on this assumption, they can success to many observation profiles. And recently, there are intermediate calculation. These simulations are 1D and solve a neutron transport. But now 1D ab initio simulation do not yet explosion. So in order to explode, they calibrate neutron luminosity. And as a result, they success to reach to 51 cell and reproduce observed profiles. But focusing on the initiation of explosion, these tend to rise explosion energy very steeply. So extrapolating from this rising point, these calculations suggest a rapid explosion. So comparing two study, there are some discrepancy in the energy explosion timescale. Here, I will not discuss about which simulation is correct, but another question is comes up. So this is that the slow explosion in a slow explosion, how does nucleosynthesis proceeding? So our motivation is how the explosive nucleosynthesis product are affected by explosion timescale. We do a 1D simulation and treat the explosion timescale as a parameter. Here we call timescale up to 51 cell or T grow, and to manipulate timescale explicitly, we adapt to remove the proto-neutron star core and inject thermal energy at the proto-neutron star surface. And in our model, and this figure shows about our model. In this model, energy increasing linearly. We assume energy increasing linearly, T grow is time to up to 51 cell, and we also treat as a parameter explosion final energy. Please note that these two define is independently. Please look red line. This red line is T grow is a 200 millisecond model, and this lower one is a final energy is 1 times 51 cell, and the upper one is 2 times 51 cell. These two models at the same time reach to 51 cell. This is a numerical setup. We use the three progenitor masses, 15 and 20 and 25. And we solve the final dynamics, and we solve the Newtonian. And the EOS, we use the Helmholtz and the 20 isotope reaction we solve. In a post process, we solve detail of nucleosynthesis reactions. Yes. After that, we compare the 56 nickel to typical supernova, and 44 titanium, and 57 nickel to a supernova 1978A, and the abundance pattern to compare to extreme metal poor stars. Here, our model, we treat T grow as a parameter, and progenitor mass and final energy as an ambiguity. And the other ambiguity we should consider is a fallback effect. In real supernova, a part of the ejector falls into a central object, but our model cannot directly calculate this effect. We use a mascot, which artificially separate from the object, central object to the ejector. And here we use two mascot position. One is we assume fully ejected above the proto-neutron star surface, we call deep ejector model. This indicates the maximum limit of a synthesized mass. And two is in order to reproduce nickel over iron ratio over external metal per star. We call EPM ratio model. And here is nickel over iron ratio and 56 nickel mass for each mass cut position of XR6. Hi. Yeah. But please note that it is difficult to tune all of the ratio by a single mass cut position. So we use from mass cut position 1 to from mass cut position 2 is the error bar of ejector. And here is the result. First, this is the temperature profile. And the y-axis is the temperature, and x-axis is the mass radius. And red line is the instantaneous explosion model, and the black line is the slow explosion model. Both models succeeded, and we plot from until five solar masses, and we can see both models succeed to explode. And this is important. The shock lose T-glow information when the outer shock reach to outer layer. But focusing on the initiation of explosion, difference between T-glow can be seen. This figure is y-axis as a peak temperature for 10 to 9 Kelvin, and the y-axis is the mass radius. And the dark gray region is a complete silicon burning region. We can clearly understand the instantaneous explosion model can reach to over 1 times 2 solar masses. But in slow explosion model, shock weaken rapidly. And we compare the typical supernova to 56 nickel. This figure, y x-axis is a time scale up to 51 cell, 40 grow. So the plot at the left side is instant explosion. And right side is a slow explosion model corresponding. Yeah. And the y-axis is the masses. And gray region is correspond to 0.07. This is a observed typical supernova mass. Yeah. And we plot the deep ejector model. So this is the maximum limit. And color is correspond to a progenitor. Hey, yes. So we can see in an instant explosion, we can satisfy 0.07. Within progenitor ambiguity, but there are decreasing tendency, and more than 1,000 T-glow, T-glow more than 1,000 milliseconds could not satisfy our 0.07, and so we can say we can show T-glow more than 1,000 millisecond model inconsistent with the typical supernova observation. And 56 nickel degrees for slow explosion model. Yeah. And second, this is also important. This is the same before one, but plotted with the final energy. And so focusing on the 200 millisecond model, this three plot is correspond to these three energy time evolution. So we can see in our definition, 56 nickel amount is not is independent with final energy, and 56 nickel is determined by energy growth rate, especially at the initiation of the explosion. And 44 titanium and 57 nickel. This model is not a fine-tuned model to supernova 1978A. So this is roughly comparing it. But there are also see a decreasing tendency. So not only 56 nickel, 44 titanium, and 57 nickel also decrease for slow explosion model. And this direction is apart from observation we can see here. And finally, we compared the element over iron ratio compared to extreme metal poor star. Only Quark supernova, typical supernova should reproduce abundance pattern in extreme metal poor star. So we compare it this. There are increasing tendency and the decreasing tendency. And our model is a solar metallicity progenitor, but if change is YE, it's simply these are also same direction, change the same direction. So beta match to both the ratio by only changing by YE should never be obtained, we can say. And summary, how the explosive nuclear synthesis product affected by T-integral, and we do a 1D hydrodynamics, and our conclusion is more than 1,000 millisecond is inconsistent with quark-wrapped supernova observations. Thank you.
Questions for Rio?
So if you look at the nickel mass distributions that I showed in my talk, then these kind of low nickel masses that you have on the right-hand side of here are not so strange if you look at the observed distributions. So for the type 2 distribution, the median value is 0.03.
Yeah.
So I think these values on the right-hand side are not so inconsistent with that. And you have to take into account that, so 87A, the value for 87A, is significantly larger than the rest of the type 2 population. So if you believe those literature values, then comparing to 87A as like a typical type 2, I think is not what you should do. You should look at the median distribution of the type 2 distribution.
Yes. Just only focusing on 56 nickel, this is correct. But we also compare the metal poor star. These also inconsistent with slow explosion.
Go ahead, Thomas.
Just a word of warning. When you pump in energy in a one-dimensional model with a kind of inner boundary condition, you do not mimic what the multidimensional neutrino-driven mechanism is doing.
Yeah.
It's channeling fresh material and much more fresh material through the neutrino heating zone and is therefore able to nucleosynthesize much more nickel than you probably can obtain in your spherically symmetric model depositing the energy in a slow way. Just a warning. I mean, the multidimensional mechanism functions differently from what you're doing here in 1D. One would have to sit down and talk about the details, how you do it, but I'm pretty concerned that you are not exactly doing what a multidimensional neutrino-driven explosion would provide.
Yeah, I mean, this is, I think, a better way than just doing an instantaneous explosion, but it's still not capturing the physics like you just said. I mean, I don't know how you capture that physics to do those yields in detail.
I mean, you can get the amounts of nickel in a slowly driven explosion, if you blow off material from the surface of the neutrino-driven of the neutron star. I mean, in these simulations which we did in 1D, Ugliano, Ertl, Sukbold, we actually obtained the nickel masses in the neutrino-driven models by, of course, producing a wind from the neutron star surface, which he has not in his model. He just deposits energy and there's nothing to heat, I guess. I don't know exactly how it's done. I wasn't able to follow in detail, but you can do it, but not how the multidimensional models exactly will do that.
Any other questions? If not, let's thank Creel one last time. And let's thank all the speakers for the morning. And so this concludes the morning session, and we'll start again at 2:40 p.m. after lunch.